Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, Steve Williamson here and Mike Costantino. We've got a guest calling in today. Mike, you want to introduce him?
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul Pinzone. Paul Pinzone is a veteran of the Phoenix police officer. He's a veteran Phoenix police officer who earned national and international recognition for leadership and in capturing high-value fugitives and in drug trafficking organizations. He's a criminal justice. He studied criminal justice at Glendale Community College and Northern Arizona University, my alma mater, and before joining the Phoenix Police Department in 1988. He's a 21-year career, beginning as a patrol officer, rising through the ranks, and becoming a detective. Rising through the ranks to manage the successful Silence Witness Program that helps catch, of course, he caught various criminals in that program, including two serial killers.
Paul, Joe Arpaio first ran office in 1992. He ran on a campaign of common sense law enforcement. Must have been a very different man than we see now. He's being reelected five times, and you're running against him. Tell us about why you're doing that, basically.
I was very fortunate during my career. You know, the Phoenix Police Department was very kind to me and gave me a lot of opportunity. And with that opportunity, I worked with a lot of good people. And we accomplished a lot of good things. So I retired a few years ago. I went into the nonprofit world as the vice president of a nonprofit called Child Help. And when I did, I went very content. But what I've seen is a change in leadership over the years where there's a loss of focus on serving our community. And because I believe so much in the community, what law enforcement represents, that I just wasn't somebody who was willing to stay on the sidelines when I knew that I could make a difference to bring it back to the place where our community feels galvanized and safer as opposed to fragmented as we are right now.
One of the things we want to do, Paul, is not, I think it would be really easy to do an anti-Arpaio show for 30 minutes here, but we want to give Paul Pinzone a chance to tell us who you are as much as possible. But we do want to spend some time talking about Arpaio's record, especially since you just said it's what brought you into the race.
And maybe there's some things you, having worked so long in the Phoenix Police Department, maybe you can explain some of the statistics that we're seeing about.
Yeah, some of these statistics, of course, are well known. I'm sure they're all well known, but some of them, like, let me start with the one I don't understand. 75% of cases cleared with no arrest in the case. What does that mean? Is that good or bad?
And no proper investigation, according to the report. What's going on there?
What you see there is just a lack of fundamentally sound law enforcement, because it's not easy to solve cases. Let's make no mistake about that. It's a difficult process. But at the same time, if you're seeing cases cleared without any arrest whatsoever, then what this tells me is that either there's not a thorough enough investigation, that the deputies aren't trained effectively enough to really be accomplishing the things on behalf of the community to keep us safe. I mean, if three-fourths of the cases that you're engaged in end up in no arrest, yet they're criminal implications, then you're really failing in your effort to keep the community safe. So what you need to do is audit that research and determine what do we need to do in order to better serve our community. Are we lacking training? Are we lacking accountability? Do we just see a malaise out there with our deputies or our officers where they're not as committed to this effort as they should be? Or is it just, I mean, in this case, it's just a combination of those things because of failed leadership.
Very good. Thanks for explaining that. And then the 40,000 felony warrants not served?
Yeah, and actually, we went back and forth with those numbers because it was 40,000 at one point in time, and now I think the number is right around 30. But the reason it's at 30 is some were removed and other agencies became engaged. But it's really important that everyone understands the majority of our crime is committed by a small percentage of the population. And unfortunately, those are the fugitives. Those are the felony fugitives that we're speaking about. So if you want to reduce crime, we must hold those accountable who are already responsible for crime. If not, they're back out on the street repeating their behaviors. The sheriff is the only leader, or at least one of the few that I know of in our county, who has not committed full-time deputies to a task force focused solely on the recovery of wanted fugitives. That tells me that he's not focused on the biggest threat to our safety.
Why won't he do that? Because obviously these people have already committed crimes, right? They're fugitives. They should be looking for them. Why won't he commit more resources to this? Why doesn't he think it's important? What is he doing with the resources instead of doing that?
Well, I don't know why he's not doing it. I will just tell you this, that it appears the resources are, more resources are allocated to the immigration issue, which obviously has a lot of political value.
Well,
but ultimately, I'll tell you, it is a priority for me. It is a priority because we have not done our job in law enforcement if we haven't finished it by holding those accountable, those who either haven't been in court yet or have been convicted. Either way, we have a responsibility to finish our job.
The other statistic that we see, and it's very disturbing, and we'll talk about illegal immigration, but during a three-year period, according to an investigation, 400 sex crimes were inadequately investigated. 32 child molestation cases were not followed up on, and possibly because the children were children of illegal immigrants.
And I'm very familiar with a lot of these cases. As a matter of fact, when the sheriff's office was removed from that contract, Nel Mirage actually started their own police department. It was two former assistant chiefs from Phoenix PD who went out there the only thing I can say is to clean up the mess. It was unfortunate, but that community was neglected. And they had to go out there and reestablish law enforcement and try to bring those investigations to light. And it was a lot of different factors. It was sheer neglect, not even following up or taking reports. It was taking reports on the face value, but no detective follow-up. And it was issues such as poor training, lack of resources. We know that there were supposed to be additional bodies specifically for sex crimes that the sheriff didn't
lack of resources committed to El Mirage.
Yeah.
He has
so there
the
was all these issues where it truly was a community that was neglected, and we have to question as to why, because if we saw it in other communities, I don't think it would have gone quietly into the night.
Right. Yeah, and it's years before people pick up on this. So he no longer police El Mirage. They lost basically that contract, right? Because it was such a mess. But it's just is there a reason not to follow up on sex crimes? I mean, I guess they're very difficult to solve. But
no, there's never a reason. There's never a reason to find an excuse to not do your job. It doesn't mean that every case can or will be solved. But we have a responsibility to do everything with our powers to do exactly that. And when we talk about the safety of women and children in our community, that has to be a priority. It has to be something we take very seriously, and we do everything that we can to hold us feel responsible. We've seen in Pennsylvania, and we know, again, I was the vice president of Child Help, where they care for child victims of these types of crimes. And sexual predators are repeat offenders. They often have multiple victims. And if you neglect that one case, not only have you harmed that child or that woman, but you have put in jeopardy many other possible victims down the road.
And in Pennsylvania, the crimes went on for decades. And even when they were reported, nobody paid any attention, or people suppressed the information because it was an embarrassment or they whatever.
Yeah, well, in Pennsylvania, I mean, what we saw was just sheer selfishness because they were trying to protect the reputation of a university. Here, we see that a leader in law enforcement, if he didn't have knowledge, he should have, but neglected providing the proper resources, training, tools, all the things necessary to effectively provide law enforcement resources to that community.
I guess when I looked at the way that Joe Arpaio was running the sheriff's department in Maricopa, the thing that struck me the most was the misuse of power, all using the power of the sheriff's office to go after people who had criticized him, whether they were newspaper reporters. He went after Terry Goddard, who was the attorney general of Arizona. He went after the mayors of Phoenix, two different mayors. He went after a fellow who ran against him.
Sure, and that's what I'm up against also. But at the end of the day, as I spoke of earlier, we have an opportunity now. We have an opportunity to say no more, because when it's bad enough when we see a person that we elect to public office abuse their authority, but when you add to that power law enforcement powers, it is a very intimidating, destructive force that can do a lot to tear down a community. But what I've been trying to do is get everyone to focus that we have a great opportunity here. We literally, overnight, in one election, can change the course of the reputation of our community across the nation and send a message that our community will no longer tolerate this. We don't need the Department of Justice or anyone else to step in on our behalf. We will get the ship righted. And it will take just, and I take pride in my career that I've worked with all those people that you mentioned. I've worked with a lot of the agencies around the valley so that we can ensure safety on those that we serve. We have the chance to make this right.
The county of Maricopa has spent more than $6 million on Joe Arpaio's lawsuit. What would you do with $6 million? How could you use that in law enforcement? Just as one example. What would be your priorities?
Well, no, actually, the number is far higher than that. The number in the lawsuits is upwards of $50 million of costs and payouts. And just to put it in perspective, that is about the equivalent of an entire moderate-sized police department, such as the Scottsdale Police Department. That is their annual budget. So if you look at the allocation of resources and what you could do to enhance safety, putting more boots on the ground, as they like to say, updating what is inadequate technology in the sheriff's office, from the radios to the reporting to how they track information, there are so many aspects that we do to enhance safety. So law enforcement often says we need more money to do our job better on your behalf. We can't make that complaint if we're wasteful with taxpayer dollars. And you look at upwards of $50 million. There were over $28 million lost just in legal fees from the infighting between the sheriff's office, the board of supervisors, and some of the judges and others that he targeted.
That's a staggering figure. $28 million in legal fees for the county fight we've all been reading about for years now. And then you're saying $50 million in lawsuits. And these are the in part due to what the inhumane treatment of people in his charge.
And that's all money that could be spent on actual law enforcement, right?
Absolutely. Or education. There's so many positive places to put it. But again, that's where, and we, a lot of folks are familiar with these numbers. Some are not. But at the end of the day,
well,
fundamentally sound law enforcement. We know what it feels like. We know what it looks like. And it is an agency putting our needs ahead of their own. And we haven't seen that in a long time, and that's what we're going to restore in this election.
You referenced the Department of Justice suit going on right now. What are they going to get him? I know that it's not a gotcha, because all they're asking for is that he change policies. It's a civil suit. There's no criminal penalties here. But is the Justice Department going to win?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I look at it from this perspective, though. If you are a leader that is committed to do right by others, when you hear of complaints, which have been going on for years publicly, when you see issues in your own organization that you know are questionable, you have a responsibility to nip them in the bud and correct them early on. What you don't do is try to defend them and be defiant to the bitter end at the expense of your community.
Which is what Joe Arpaio is doing.
So, I have no idea what's going to come out of the DOJ thing, but no one can be surprised by the failures. It's just a matter of what are we willing to do to correct it. We've been on this road for far too long. We need to change the course.
But you think it should be corrected by the sheriff's office? You think it should be done by people in Arizona directly, rather than the feds having to come in and put things right?
Absolutely. It's something that we should have corrected ourselves. It should have been handled by leadership at organization years ago when you first, and let's use the El Mirage case you just spoke of. You hear of a case, or you have knowledge of a case of a child being victimized, and the case isn't handled properly. One is one too many. You should be responding immediately to correct that. So to think that there were upwards of hundreds of cases of women and children who were victimized, nothing was done, and then it was just basically, I don't want to say excused, I don't know what the correct word would be, but it was just dismissed. That is unacceptable. And the same thing occurs here with the DOJ allegations of, whether it be racial profiling or other challenges. Leaders have a responsibility to correct the problems in their organization, to hold people accountable. That has not gone on for far too long.
Now, we're talking to you up here from here, Yavapai County. You're running for sheriff of Maricopa County. But because of the Arpaio's reputation nationwide, and he's a problem, as far as we're concerned, for the whole state, which is why we invited you. How's it going, Paul? How's the campaign?
I think it's going exceptionally well. Now, I'm new to a campaign, to actually pursuing public office, so I don't have a measuring stick. But first and foremost, you're correct. This, although a Maricopa County challenge, we need the support of the state to get this corrected. And that's unfortunate to have to ask others to go out of their way to help us. But I can tell you, I was just in Tucson for a fundraiser, and they were exceptionally warm and welcoming.
That's great.
I'll be in Flagstaff this weekend for a fundraiser.
You're coming to Sedona, I hear.
Hey, I'll be in Sedona also. Yeah, I got like a three-stop tour on the weekend here of the northern part of the state. And what we're seeing is the community, not just in Maricopa County, but across the state, recognizes that law enforcement, the sheriff's office, is not being done properly because of failed leadership, and that it has a detrimental impact on the safety, on the well-being of our state as it relates to a lot of things, business, convention business, just visitors, as well as those who are coming here to invest in companies. And it has adversely affected our reputation across the nation, and everyone has had enough.
We just can't tell how much it's affecting our business, but Joe Arpaio is becoming the defining feature of Arizona, and we don't know how that affects tourism. We really don't. Some people are going to come here because Arizona is a super red state, and other people are going to go, oh, wait a minute, I don't think I'll go to New Mexico or California or something instead. It affects our tourism industry, which is, of course, the largest industry up here. Just the reputation, the whole silly thing with Obama's birth certificate, after everybody else, all the other birthers had given up on it, he brings it up again with the kookiest of the kooks. Even some of the kooks were kind of against this last thing. He's using resources that could be used in law enforcement. Where would you use those resources? What would be your priorities for policing Maricopa County?
It goes back to things you spoke of earlier. Fugitives must be a priority because of the repeat offenders in our community. We have a severe challenge as it relates to drug trafficking, human trafficking, and human slavery. There are young women in our community, not just those that are immigrants from Mexico or other countries, but U.S. citizens also, who are being victimized and treated as slaves and prostituted on our streets. We have a challenge with the crimes against children, as well as just families in general. We have to protect the core value of our community, which is our families. So for me, the priorities would be ensuring that the detention centers are run properly, safely and efficiently, that the areas under the jurisdiction of the sheriff, although he has blanket jurisdiction, I'm speaking of the unincorporated areas and those under contract, the patrol and the investigative resources dedicated there must be properly allocated for the safety of the deputies as much as those communities. And then we look at the other areas, as I spoke of, the drug traffickers, human traffickers, the fugitives, and crimes against children will always be a priority for me because they're our future. That's our most precious asset, and we must protect them.
True, very true. Let's talk for a second. Let's refocus on illegal immigration here for a minute. Since that's what Arpaio has built so much on. I mean, the Obama administration has, according to my information, deported hundreds of thousands of criminals, of illegal alien criminals. And maybe he didn't get the busboys, but he got a lot of the criminals. Since Arpaio built his reputation on this so strongly, you've referenced it a couple of times in the time we've been talking, but let's go ahead and focus for a second on what Paul Pinzon's position is, or how would you deal with this immigration thing that Arpaio has been so over the top on, in my opinion, but also has won him so much support.
Sure, and because what we want to do really is make the conversation about solutions, and it comes down to this. We only have so many resources and so many dollars that can be allocated to issues that relate to illegal immigration. So we have to make a decision. Do we want those dollars spent on criminals in our community? And I know that I understand that being in the country illegally is a crime, but I'm speaking of those that are responsible for robberies and burglaries and sex crimes and other issues. Do we want our law enforcement professionals focused on those who are committing crimes in our community? And then within that net, you're going to encapsulate those who are illegally in the country. Or do you want to spend time sending an entire squad on occasion or more bodies to a restaurant to arrest two cooks? Right. For me, I want to focus on the organized crime aspect where they make money off the blood, sweat, and tears of others, where they threaten the safety of our community. And in those issues, we're going to encapsulate the immigration issue. Now, during the course of your duties in any aspect of law enforcement, you will encounter circumstances where you come across a person who's illegally in the country or even a situation like a drop house. Then our job is to facilitate the needs of the federal agencies that are responsible for that jurisdiction. Contact them, turn those people over to ICE, and let them carry out their duties. There's a there's, I don't know if you've heard of secure communities, but it's basically the guidelines, the rules as it relates to local law enforcement. I shouldn't say the rules, but it's just a program where what you do is you target two aspects of illegal immigration: those who have committed crimes and those who were deported and then recently deported and then returned to the country. Right. They just continue to violate that law. Those are the ones that are targeted by the federal government that we should be facilitating on their behalf. And then after that, we must be responding to the needs of our community. If we put so many of our resources into immigration and neglect the other areas, we are not safer because of it.
Yeah, I mean, all this grandstanding, doesn't it just alienate people who might be witnesses to crimes, who might talk to the police? Doesn't it make them paranoid? Even if they're in the country legally, maybe they have relatives who are not, or maybe my experience with new immigrants to the U.S., and this was in New York, and most of them are from Asia, is that they're very insecure. They come from countries where policing can be brutal and power driven. And so even when they arrive in the U.S., and even when they become U.S. citizens, they're still leery of the police to start with, because they come from countries where it's a bad situation.
Well, yeah, when I ran the Silent Witness program, and it was probably called Crime Stoppers in Yavapai County, but Silent Witness was, it was a local version of America's Most Wanted. My job was to work with all the agencies in Maricopa County to solve unsolved crimes or catch wanted fugitives. And while I was there, we started a program called Testigo Silencioso. It was nothing more or less than the Spanish language version of Silent Witness. And what we did was we went to the community and said, We want to prove that you can trust us. We want you to have confidence in us, because you're correct when you say oftentimes other cultures come from a place where maybe there's a higher level of corruption or challenges with their law enforcement, and there's a lack of trust. We have to work to restore that trust, because there are good people in our community that have information to help solve crimes or to report crimes. We just have to show them that we are trustworthy and that we're working together to make it safer. We have to learn of other cultures and support their needs. We can't always expect it's going to be the other way around. So what we did was we went out to the Spanish-speaking community, said, here's how you can report crime, here's how you can report information to solve crimes, and here's what we can do together so that we can gain each other's trust and confidence. And we had spectacular outcomes. Then SB 1070 hit, and everything backslid, because now no one wants to come forward to provide information. So for that suspect who's out there victimizing other victims, we're not going to be able to catch them as quickly, because we're losing out on information that would have been available to us.
So it did cause a loss of information. You just think logically, commonsensically, these raids and all this grandstanding would have that effect. But it actually did impact law enforcement directly in terms of people coming forward and actually catching violent criminals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the best law enforcement, I'm a firm believer, the best law enforcement is the one that draws the least amount of attention. If we're doing our jobs the right way, everyone leaves their home in the morning, or you go to work, wherever you go, you enjoy your day, you feel safe, you know you're safe, you return home to your family at the end of the day, and you don't think about it. When law enforcement is constantly the center of attention in our world, either because of a need to get exposure or whatever it may be, this public image need, then we are really failing the community. The only time we should be speaking to the community is we need your help to solve a crime, but we want to provide you information so that you can be safer in your life.
Speaking of grandstanding, the other signature Arpaio thing is the treatment of prisoners. What's going on in managing the jails?
It seems both silly and pink underwear. I mean, this is going to affect these guys. It all seems very odd, and when people come in from out of state, they want to know what's going on. They can't really understand what all this stuff's about.
Now, let me interrupt here and say that we all know that there's certainly a segment of the community out there that loves seeing prisoners or criminals. These are criminals. What don't you understand about this? These are criminals. They don't deserve to lay around and watch TV. So there's that population, but there's also, it seems, I mean, this goes too far. I mean, the guy's been going too far for a long time, hasn't he?
Well, I think we have to ask ourselves, well, first and foremost, let me state this. I don't believe anyone should live better in custody than we live outside. Jails were not meant to be luxurious. At the same time, they were not meant to be inhumane or abusive. So if there's an argument that pink underwear is the example, either enhanced safety, altered behavior, or saved taxpayers money, then I would be all for it. I don't know that any of those cases are accurate. So for me, fundamentally sound, do your job the right way, don't make it into a sideshow, make it into an effective practice for what your objective is, which is to keep the community safe and hold people accountable. So I'm not running against them because of pink underwear. There are those and many other issues. I am running against the sheriff because he's lost sight of what it means to serve this community, to keep it safer and to be efficient. You can't tell me you're saving us money because you feed people green bologna if in turn you're costing us upwards of $50 million in lawsuits. I want it to be a facility in detention where inmates are kept there in the fashion that the courts have deemed, that we are running it in a safe manner, that it is not a luxurious accommodation, but detention is your punishment, and we're not there to try to create other aspects that just draw attention for the sake of sensationalism.
I thought that was an interesting point. I'd never heard that that law enforcement shouldn't be a public issue all the time.
Yeah, we're so
be
used
on,
to it.
Except, I guess, when you catch a criminal or you need help catching one, that it really is a professional job doing the job well, and most professionals don't spend most of their time out bragging about how well they're doing their job.
Well, if you get bragged, you can brag about what your people are doing, the sacrifices
there
they make.
Go.
There are a lot of good men and women in the sheriff's office who are putting their lives on the line every day and doing their job with a full commitment. They're the ones who need to be rewarded and recognized. For those who are failing, they then need to be trained or held accountable to why they're failing. But ultimately, we should take pride and be grateful for the sacrifices of those that wear the uniform, whether it's firefighters or military or law enforcement, because of their sacrifice. Not because of a leader who has a need to constantly be the center of attention.
We've only got a few minutes left, Paul. I want to get back to your partnering with the community. You've referenced it kind of throughout the half hour, but let's focus on that for a second. We've seen what does it mean to Paul Pinzone? We kind of seen what a partnering is to Arpaio. What's it to you?
Well, I mean, just give you a little background. I worked in narcotics for 6 years. I worked on a federal task force with DEA for 3 years. I have worked with the community. I've worked with all the law enforcement agencies. And what I've learned through that process and those relationships is that we are so much stronger together than we are when we are acting as individuals. So what we have to do is this. Law enforcement has to get back to the place where we respect the rights, the privileges of those that we serve, and that we have a better connection.
You're coming to Sedona this next Saturday, Old Sedona Bar and Grill. You'll be there from 1 o'clock to 2:30. And he's available, folks. You're available to answer questions after your talk. And you're also going to Prescott. So you're making a swing up here into northern Arizona to talk to people about policing.
Well, it's true, and a lot of us spend time in Maricopa County, whether we like to or not. The capital just happens to be down there, and we have to go there.
Well, try to avoid it now. It's a little bit hot.
Yeah. Well, I had a grandson born recently, so I've had to go down there more often than I would have liked. But seriously, it does affect the whole state, and that's why everybody sooner or later has to, especially if you've lived in Arizona a long time like I have. I've been here 40 years, and so you're constantly going to the Capitol. And so the sheriff of Maricopa County affects your life, even though it's not the county that you live in.
So if you'd like to hear Paul Pinzone, talk to him in the flesh, I guess, go to Old Sedona Bar and Grill this next Saturday. He'll be there and just open to discussing issues. And I think you get a very different perspective on how you police than the kind of grandstanding we've seen in Maricopa. Next week, Celinda Lake, one of our favorite guests. She's a great pollster and
on our show, Celinda Lake. And don't forget, you can catch all of this we talked about a lot today on vvid.org. The podcast will be up in a day or two. vvid.org. You can listen to this broadcast.
You've been and listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.